I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So the Washington Nationals had their own COVID outbreak earlier this week. And then they also had a trade deadline to remember forever. So Max Scherzer, 6-time All-Star, but 2-time Cy Young winner while here in D.C., World Series champion, our greatest pitcher in Nats history. I think that's Scherzer's title. All-Star shortstop Trey Turner, gone. Kyle Schwarber, Mr. 16 home runs in June, gone. John Lester, man, gone. And it's, who else? Josh Harrison, like, trying to keep up with the list of who's gone is harder than trying to remember who's on the team. Like, Juan Soto's still here. That's all that matters to me. I don't know if you know me very well, but Soto season started years ago for me, and I've been wearing Juan Soto shirts since. So I'm glad he's still here. Juan Soto was traded. I think I would have been depressed. I think they would have said, Chris, can you work today? And I've been like, no, I cannot, because Soto season is gone. Anyway, that's how I feel about it. So many prospects coming in. Let's try to understand it. For that, let's go to Matt Wyrick, who covers the Washington Nationals. So, Matt, thanks for joining the show this morning or this afternoon. It's been a crazy day so far with all the Washington football team news. So, first and foremost, take us back to the Nationals a few days ago now, not even a full week, when they had their COVID-19 outbreak.
Yeah, it was definitely took them as a shock. First of all, Trey Turner, right in the middle of a game, test comes back positive. He's actually on the bases when the Nationals realize that he needs to come out. So as soon as he scores on a home run, he doesn't even get to celebrate with his teammates, just is immediately pulled into the clubhouse, informed he needs to go in quarantine. And then, of course, the next day, the Nationals come out and say that they have 12 more people who have been affected. A majority of those people were staff members and coaches. Davey Martinez had to go into Thursday's doubleheader with Kyle Schwarber as a bench coach and a whole bunch of guys in different roles for him as different coaches around the diamond. So it was something they really had to, you know, overcome with that doubleheader in the Phillies. It was came as a surprise. It made it unclear whether, you know, Turner was going to even be available anymore because of his standing now with COVID and everything and having to quarantine. So evidently that did not end up playing a role. But Davey Martinez did say that when they did trade both him and Daniel Hudson, a reliever who was shipped off as well, he wasn't able to say goodbye to them in person, and that really hurt him. So he had to do it over the phone. It definitely made for a difficult conversation there.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I didn't even say Daniel Hudson's name because I'm like, all right, who am I trying to keep up with here? So make sure I got the count right. I got 11 players / prospects coming in, 6 pitchers, 2 catchers, 3 position players. Am I accurate?
I think you're right. My number might be 12. They got outfielder Lane something. I can't remember his last name, but for the
Lane
John Lester
Thomas
deal with the cart.
Yeah. Lane Thomas, who had 104. What is going on?
Fourth outfielder type, I think.
Yeah. I guess he's fast is the reason. Anyway, when I see all of the – look, I look at Max Scherzer, I kind of get it because you're saving money on the back end. You're thinking, okay, this team is not going to win in the next 2 or 3 years as far as the World Series. I'm guessing that's the way they view it, by letting Max go, or they don't want to pay him that amount of money. Trey Turner, I think I saw a reported deal for $300 million for him as a 28-year-old. the speedster. I'm like, well, then he's going to be 29, 30, probably your last, like, two great years out of him. You got some great years from him. I kind of understand that, too. What's your take on the guys they decided to move away from here?
Yeah, you know, everybody except for Turner was on an expiring contract. So if you decide that you're not going to be competing in 2021, then there's absolutely no reason to hold on to any of those guys because they're all going to be free agents this offseason anyway. And if you wanted to bring them back and continue playing with them, they're going to be free agents. So you'll be able to go and sign them. But you'll be able to get that prospect return in the meantime, which the Nationals farm system, among the worst in baseball over the past couple of years, they've really just drained all of that talent, particularly at the high levels. So they're really replenishing that with a lot of these deals. The big move, obviously, Scherzer and Turner. Turner having control next year hurts because it kind of signals that the Nationals aren't necessarily trying to win next year. But Mike Rizzo did say yesterday that he doesn't see this as some sort of long-term rebuild. When he took over in 2009, he pointed to the fact that it took him only 3 years for the Nationals to win 98 games. Obviously, had the added benefit of Steven Strasburg and Bryce Harper going first overall in back-to-back drafts. It's certainly not something that the Nationals are going to be counting on right now. But he sees this as being more of a retool than a rebuild, something where in a year or two, they're really going to be right back in it. You know, the NL East has shown that right now it's really not this juggernaut of a division by any means. So there certainly is room for the Nationals to climb back into contention in the near future if they can play their cards right and these prospects pan out.
Well, for instance, Kyle Schwarber, right? 16 home runs in June. I look at him like, man, 25 home runs over, you know, 50 RBI. And I go, man, that's with missing time in July. His number was 10 mil this year. What do you think he's going to make going forward?
Yeah, you know, I think that 1 month certainly is going to help him in free agency. Now, of course, being hurt doesn't help. And the fact that his, you know, batting average is still not necessarily super high. You know, he's kind of not considered an all or nothing hitter per se, but somebody who is really going to give you a lot of walks and a lot of home runs, a lot of strikeouts. So, you know, that kind of player, he's still on the younger side, only 28 years old. So I expect him to get a 3 or 4 year deal in free agency. I could see him coming back to the Nationals, actually, probably out of the most out of everybody. You know, he loved playing for Davey Martinez this year, his former bench coach when he was with the Cubs. And he's talked a lot about publicly how he wanted to treat this not just as a 1 year deal, but as an opportunity to prove that he deserves to stick around long term with the Nationals. So I would not be surprised if we start hearing talks over the offseason of them being interested in bringing him back, because if the Nationals are interested, I believe he definitely is too. So it just kind of depends on, you know, are they going to try and fill out that outfield right now, or do they want to get some younger guys in there? You know, what that situation is going to look like, we're going to find out over the next 2 months.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting from this perspective for the Nationals. Like you said, if they're willing to spend money in free agency, like they're going to save a lot of money the rest of this year, right? Like, we know that, we get that, we understand it. But in baseball, you can really build your team in free agency. It's not like in the NFL, you're not going to just build an entire team from free agency and be like, we're going to be competitive next year. I look at the Nats as, okay, now they're going to have money that they saved on the back end of this season and money to spend if they want, and they're going to have young players on better deals. So I want to get his name right. Is it Keibert Ruiz, the 23-year-old switch-hitting catcher? I looked at the numbers, and I'm like, oh, in AAA? So you're telling me 311, 16 home runs, 45 RBI, and, quote, potential all-star as what they're thinking about him. What? Have the Nats ever had a catcher like that?
Not really. You know, the last catcher for them to make the All-Star team was Wilson Ramos in his final year before hitting free agency back in, I believe it was 2015. So it's been a while. You know, I saw the other day that Trace Barrera hit two doubles in a game, and that was the first time a Nats rookie catcher had two doubles in a game in a decade. You know, so that kind of shows that they haven't really had a lot of young talent at that position. They've been filling in through free agency a lot over the last few years. Ever since Wilson Ramos left, it's kind of been, okay, Matt Wieters, okay, Yan Gomes, Kurt Suzuki, Alex Avila, all these guys have really just kind of been some kind of patchwork for them at this position. But now they really can invest in the catcher position because they didn't just go and get Keibert Ruiz. They have Trace Barrera, a guy who's really shown out so far this year in his short stint in major leagues, and they got Riley Adams in the return for Brad Hand from the Toronto Blue Jays, and he is in AAA right now, so somebody that actually might be able to make an impact and compete for a spot on the opening day roster next year. So now all of a sudden catching becomes a major strength of the Nationals. Like you said, those are young, controllable contracts, younger players, they're cheaper, and it certainly helps that now the Nationals don't have to patchwork that position in free agency, and they can address it other ways. And I expect the Nationals to be active in free agency, despite the fact that they're probably not going to necessarily be World Series contenders next year. I don't think that they're going to try and bottom out either. I definitely think they're going to at least go for a lot of players on one-year contracts. You know, if it doesn't work out, they can flip them at the deadline. If not, you know, you never know what could happen. If some of these young guys come up and they perform right away, crazier things have happened.
It seems like the philosophy also was, let's go get the farm system back together. I believe they had one player in the top 100, right, in their farm system. And now with the trade with the Dodgers, you get two in the top 50 and arguably the best catching prospect out there. But some of these arms, Josiah Gray, I guess the line is, has a chance to be the number two starter when he's done developing, 23 years old. You know, 95 mile per hour fastball, power slider, curveball. When I look at this team, you're thinking Strasburg is going to be your ace next year, right? And you're looking at a strong second in Gray. I think that's a good way to go about things.
Yeah, and they're going to be having Cade Cavalli, their top pitching prospect, coming up soon as well. He's in Double-A right now, just had 12 strikeouts in 6 2/3 innings yesterday. Really has been showing out. He leads all minor league pitchers across all levels this year in strikeouts. He's been absolutely electric. So he's had some problems with his control, so, you know, some walks here and there that have come back to haunt him. So the Nationals are hoping to hone that in and really get him to refine his mechanics a little bit to the point where, you know, they can feel comfortable calling him up. And that could be in September. You know, a lot of fans have been clamoring for him to get called up now that the Nationals kind of have a patchwork rotation at the moment. I don't think he's ready just yet, and COVID rules require that you have to be in AAA in order to get called up, so he needs one more promotion before he's eligible. So, you know, between him, fellow first-round pick Jackson Rutledge, who came back off of shoulder surgery this year and had a good start down in single-A, Cole Henry, who was their 2020 second-round pick, he's at High A Wilmington right now, and they have high hopes for him as well. He was a guy who they paid over slot in the second round and felt could have been a first-round pick for them. You know, they have young arms now where you can look down the line and say, you know, even if they all don't pan out, you know, you're hoping for at least, you know, two of these guys to become everyday regulars in the rotation. And the Nationals haven't struggled to develop pitching. I mean, ever since they brought up Steven Strasburg, the only other pitcher that they've developed that has stuck in their rotation has been Eric Fetty. And you could argue he really hasn't stuck in their rotation other than this year. He's bounced around between the bullpen and up and down the minor leagues. So, you know, he hasn't been a mainstay. This is something where the Nationals are really trying to improve their rotation. They always talk about how they're a pitching first organization, and this is evidence of that.
Yeah, I look at some of the other names. So it's weird because I think for Schwarber, they got Aldo Ramirez. I'm like, all right, he's playing for the Salem Red Sox. I mean, that's single A ball for a guy that had 25 home runs. And I think, oh, yeah, that's right. Schwarber's on this like 1 year deal here. It's a 3 month rental. Do you think that kind of kept his value down in what you could get in return?
Yeah, and I think also the fact that Schwarber is, you know, still on the injured list and considered a week or two at least away from returning from the significant hamstring strain that basically took him out since that hot stretch in June. So, you know, I think that the Nationals were able to get a guy like Ramirez who is, you know, not necessarily close to the majors like a lot of the other players that they got, you know, throughout this whole process. They targeted a lot of players who were considered major league ready. Aldo Ramirez is not that, but he is kind of a bit of a lottery ticket. You know, he's got some high upside. You know, scouts kind of rave about him as an underrated player in the Red Sox system. It kind of reminds me of when the Nationals traded Jesus Luzardo to the Oakland A's. He wasn't on any big prospect lists and, you know, was only 19 years old at the time. But, you know, it was talked about for Oakland how Luzardo was going to end up being, you know, a future rotation ace for them. And he's had some injuries and battled some ineffectiveness this year and actually ended up getting traded at the deadline himself back into the NL East with the Marlins. But, you know, overall, it's kind of the similar mold here. The Nats kind of restocking the bottom of their farm system to keep that steady stream of talent coming for the next, like, 5+ years.
Yeah, I think it's an excellent way to rebuild. I look at it like this. When I look across the board of all the sports, I think, man, the Nats didn't get anything for Bryce Harper. So for the Wizards, I hope they get something for Bradley Beal if they try to rebuild. And this team has been in a rebuild for 3 years, and they still haven't, like, figured out where they're going, you know? And I look at the Nats, and I go, at least there's a plan here. Like, there's a definitive plan. Do you think that the situation with Bryce Harper leaving for nothing, I guess Anthony Rendon after World Series, I feel like even though the Nats won a World Series in 2019, this thought of, like, we can't afford all of these guys began with the Bryce Harper leave in free agency. Is that accurate, or is that, you know, inaccurate?
Yeah, no, I definitely think it is. And the kind of common line of thinking appeared to be that, you know, okay, we're letting Bryce Harper walk so we can pay Anthony Rendon. And then we're letting Anthony Rendon walk so we can pay Trey Turner. And now we're trading Trey Turner so that we can pay Juan Soto. You know, at a certain point, the Nationals do have to pick somebody to lock up. And I think Soto is the guy. You know, he's definitely the best player out of that group. He's a fantastic personality, already showing leadership qualities at 22 years old, and, you know, has all the writings of a future Hall of Famer, you know, just needs to put together that kind of career. So, you know, where they are now, it's definitely, you know, like you said, they have a plan, and they're not destined now to, if they were to, you know, go back in on this team or hold at the deadline and not trade off all these pieces, you know, you fall further into this purgatory where you're stuck as kind of like a mediocre team where, you know, you don't have high enough draft picks in order to bring in younger talent, but you also aren't good enough to be making the playoffs. And then you're kind of stuck there, you know, in between two places. The Nationals, you know, they said, okay, you know, we've tried for 2 years now since winning the World Series to keep this core together, to go in and try to compete with this core. And in back-to-back years, it seems like they're going to be missing the playoffs. So, you know, they decided, hey, rather than, you know, keep trying this thing, keep trying to hold on to our 2019 laurels, let's just hit the reset button a little bit, you know, take a step back so we can take a big leap forward. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. I think it's the right plan. You know, trading Trey Turner, it was difficult, but where he is right now, if the Nationals don't feel like they can re-sign him, you know, the last thing that you want to do is lose him for nothing. And his value has never been higher. You know, a year out, year and a half out from free agency, he's playing his best baseball he's ever played in his career. He's really developed into more of just a speed guy, but also a dynamic hitter at the plate who has power, who has plate discipline. He's the whole package. And the Dodgers are really getting a good one. And the Nationals knew it. So they went out and saw Keibert Ruiz as the player that they wanted to acquire at the trade deadline, and they made it happen.
Yeah, I also looked into that deal a little bit. I was like, man, what about Bobby Miller, the fifth-ranked prospect they had? I know they got Ruiz. I know they got Gray. But I'm like, man, if they had gotten Miller too, I think this would be a home run. Am I just being greedy? I mean, like you just said, you explained Trey Turner, and we know who Max Scherzer is. Did the Nats get enough in that deal?
Yeah, you know, I think that the return should be considered very fair. You know, it's not a slam dunk necessarily. They didn't get an absolute steal, you know, for this. You know, when I heard that the Nationals were, you know, in talks with the Dodgers, I figured that guys like Gavin Lux or Dustin May, who, you know, were former top prospects for them but now are in the major leagues, I figured those two guys would kind of be what the package would probably be built around, considering the Nationals have a shorter timeline and want to jump back into contention sooner. But instead, they settle for the top two prospects in a Dodger system that has continually produced talent for the past 10 years. You know, they're kind of the exception to the rule. The Nationals spent 10 years contending, you know, having a winning record almost every season, going in, competing for World Series titles, trading prospects at the deadline, pulling them up to the point where their farm system has been kind of barren. But the Dodgers are doing the exact same thing and still finding ways to produce high-end talent, guys like Walker Buehler, guys like Cody Bellinger, who have just come up through their system despite the team already being good and turning into superstars. So, you know, you got to be happy that you're getting two prospects from such a refined system. You might have hoped for a little bit more, but I'd say you got to be pretty pleased with the two guys that they got back as the headliners.
Great. So I feel like you're with me where I'm like, look, it wasn't working out this year for the Nats. Max Scherzer is, I mean, how long is he still going to be this way, right? Like, it's like at some point it has to go in the opposite direction. And Trey Turner, I think if you get a all-star catcher out of that's 5 years younger, I think you did all right in that regard too. So I don't know. I'm very bullish on what the Nats did, and I think you are as well.
Absolutely. I think it was the time to pull that trigger and make the move. It's difficult because there's a lot of emotions involved. You know, as somebody who, you know, grew up in the area, grew up rooting for the team, you know, as a kid, you know, it's hard to see guys like this go. And you know, I understand the emotions that a lot of fans are feeling, you know, having seen Trey Turner and Max Scherzer lead their favorite team to a World Series title and become faces of their franchise, only to be, you know, shipped off to a team, but especially it being the Dodgers, you know, that hurts. I get it. It definitely hurts. But, you know, this is a new era for the Nationals. It's something to get excited about in the long term and a reason to believe that they can sustain success and not just have, you know, one or two fluky seasons where they make it into the playoffs.
All right, last most important question for you. When I say the name Mickey Matthews, what do you think?
Mickey Matthews. I don't know.
Oh, man.
Not ringing a bell.
You know why? Go Dukes.
Why?
You know what? I thought that you were a guy.
Oh, my God. Mickey Matthews. It didn't ring the bell. Mm. It didn't ring the bell. Damn you, baseball, man.
See? I'm my research on you, and I try to name drop for you. For those listening, Mickey Matthews is the all-time winningest coach in JMU history. Led that team to win over Virginia Tech for one. Regular season win, and also to multiple national championship appearances. Matt Weirich, you know, from NBC Sports Washington, thank you for stopping by on the BetQL guest line. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. You're catching me an era too early. I was the Mike Houston era when I was there. So
I guess I'm getting long in the tooth. You know what I mean? Like, I guess I'm getting long in the tooth. Thanks, Matt.
I got you. Hey, thanks.
Oh, man. Go Dukes. That's all I got on that one. All right. I see a couple of you guys calling about the Nationals. I'm going to take your calls on the Nats when we return, so please stay on the line. And if you have anything to say about what you think about the Nats rebuild, we're willing to listen. 1-800-636-1067.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Man, this is how I felt in 2019 when dealing with the Washington Nationals. Now, let's go back a little bit. Chris Miles here with you on Overtime. Special thanks to Matt Weirich for coming on the show and breaking down the deals for the Nats from NBC Sports Washington. Here's what I'm saying. I remember that season. I remember! Because the team was bad. And when I say bad, I was getting tickets for super-duper cheap. I was getting free tickets. You know how when something's so bad, people can't give away their tickets? People forget. 2019, when the Nats won, I remember going to games, enjoying some adult beverages in nice days, just like, no one else is here except the geriatrics. It's me and the old geezers. And we're having fun at this ballpark. I'm like, oh, what team is here? So here's the funniest thing I remember about that. I remember at the beginning of 2019, the Nats played the Yankees. And for those that are listening, you should probably know I grew up as a Yankee fan. I remember walking into the ballpark and it was like, Ron Soto hit another home run. And I was like, man, this is my favorite non-Yankee player of all time. Ron Soto already. I think it was like eighth or ninth home run that season. It was something weird like that. I was like, this dude is amazing. And I'm bringing all this up for this reason. Remember when he was a prospect? Maybe you do, because I don't. It was all about some Victor Robles. Victor Robles has an amazing arm. Victor Robles is going to be the star. I was like, who is this Juan Soto dude? Hey, I'm like, he's just hitting everything. And then the crazy part, when I kind of thought he was going to be special and the team was going to turn it around, he got like a base knock to right field. And this is in like May. The team's below 500, like 10 games below 500. And the right fielder kind of like, you know, goes soft. And he, as he rounds first, remember, Soto ain't fast. Yeah, he ain't wheels, but he ain't fast. And as he rounded first, he saw the right fielder was like BSing the ball. He's choong. He turned it up a notch. And the right fielder looks up. I don't remember what team they were facing or anything like that. He throws. Soto gets in there safe. And the effort, I saw something different from that team. From any year that they had Bryce Harper or anything before, I was like, oh, this is a little different. They might be trash, but I'm going to sit here and enjoy the rest of this season. Then they turn it around, and then they get to the playoffs, and all of you people start showing up, saying we're doing happy hour and watching, and didn't know anything about the team, drove up the price of tickets. I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't say that about, you know, you Nationals fans, but I didn't see none of you at the ballpark when I was enjoying games and the team was bad. The point that I'm making is this. I think it was a great World Series win. I think that this group went to, you know, five postseason appearances, won a World Series, and that was the only year they really got over the hump. And I think it was time to destroy and rebuild it. I do. And I also, what I asked Matt Weyrich was like, you know, I think this destroy and rebuild, it didn't start, it's not right now. I think it started when they said, we're not going to pay Bryce Harper. I think that was the beginning of it, and the team kind of lucked out with Soto, and then Rendon turned into like an MVP player as well, like the same time, and they caught fire. Howie Kendrick's going to do it. Like, that's what I think. Anyway, I told you guys I would take your calls and not just babble about my Nats love. I know it's hard to be loving on a day where they said we're having a fire sale, or a week where they said we're having a fire sale, but you guys have been waiting for a long time. And I appreciate you. So let's go to the Gamut DC listener line, Eric in Arlington. What's up, man?
Hey, great show. And I thought Matt did a great job. And I'm one of those old geezers, by the way. So
Wait. You, how old are you?
I'm 56. I'll be 56
No, sir. I'm talking 80. I'm talking 80 and above. You know, no. You're in the right wheelhouse. I'm saying... Cocoon.
But it's not the years, it's the mileage. Anyway, I'm a big fan of this. It sucked. It sucked to get rid of Scherzer, and you know, you wanted to see Schwarber stick around and all that. And Trey Turner was a little bit of a surprise, but not a shock. And the way I look at it is, none of these guys were guaranteed to be here next year except for Turner. None of them, right? So if you could get anything in return in a year you're not going to go to the playoffs, because we're very, very unlikely to go to the playoffs without any pitching, then you should do it. Turner sweetened the pot a little bit, but maybe he wasn't going to be back anyway. And I think Harper leaving, I think that opened the learner's eyes, because Rizzo wanted to trade him in 18, which I would have been in favor of before his, you know, that was his walk year, basically. They could have got something for him, and they didn't, and then he walked anyway. So I think that opened everybody's eyes to the fact that these guys aren't necessarily going to all stick around, and I think they're reading the tea leaves and saying, to be good, we've got to deal some guys, and they got a great haul. Our farm systems goes from terrible to pretty good, and you really can't argue with it. If you want the Nats to compete, great. If you want to be the Philadelphia Phillies that signed Utley and Howard to horrible contracts and got saddled with them and couldn't get rid of them forever, well, then that's, you should root for a different team, because those guys, if they can't produce, aren't any fun to watch. So that's my take, you know. And I agree, it's painful, but it's part of baseball. I was sad when Soriano left. Okay, that's how old I am. So,
oh man, Soriano, I told you that I grew up as a Yankee fan, so you know Soriano's my guy too. What do you mean? That means we're, you know, in the same wheelhouse, sort of. Not really. You know, he said 56. It's like, yeah, not geezer stage. I don't know where geezers start. I think it's like 70 and above. You know, I think that's probably, and it depends on how you're 70. I'll just say that. I mean, you know, Keibert Ruiz, hopefully I said his name right, Josiah Gray. I think there's some good prospects that they got back. Obviously not Trey Turner, an all-star this year, or Max Scherzer, the greatest pitcher in Nats history is what I'm calling him. But if you got to destroy and rebuild it, I think they'll have money to sign some free agents. I think they're in a good spot. Let's go to Mike in Springfield, also a Nats fan. What's up, Mike?
How are you? You know, I can't believe the Rizzo fanboys you and the guy you interviewed are. I not only threw up yesterday's lunch, I threw up Monday's lunch.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. You know what? When are people going to admit that Rizzo made the biggest bonehead error by re-signing papier-mâché boy Steven Strasburg, who I love, but his body is made of papier-mâché. He had maybe one and a half great seasons, and they let Rendon walk.
Well, Rendon hasn't been great either. So what is happening?
Okay, but Rendon was consistent throughout his career. You cannot.
But he's been hurt
predict
now.
Injury.
Well, but you just did. You
Steven
said Strasburg
is injury prone. Now, do you think the New York Yankees, who I grew up loving, I'm Mickey Mantle age, you know, so I'm older than the old geezer you just had on. Do you think the Yankees ever thought, well, you know, do you think we ought to re-sign our shortstop, Derek Jeter, or what do you think we ought to? I mean, look at their teams. If you want to be big league caliber, New York Yankees, L.A. Dodgers, if you want to play with the big boys on a consistent level, start acting like it. And that brings me to my next point. Peter freaking Angelos. How much money does he owe this team, and how much longer is this going to be caught up in litigation and arbitration?
Well, let's leave that last part out. Thanks for calling. Trey Turner is not, in fact, Derek Jeter, so we'll leave that part alone, too. And Anthony Rendon this year, I just went straight to the pure numbers, and I go, yeah, he's batting .240, has appeared in 58 games. Yeah. 6 home runs and 34 RBI. The Nationals, his last season here, led the league in doubles, led the league in RBI, 126, 44 doubles. He got, 24 doubles since. I think they made the right move there. Let me back up. I was a sign Rendon, let Strasburg go. Definitely made the right move and bring him back, Strasburg over Rendon. Now, if you want to make the point that they should have let them both go, imagine trying to do this show if they let both of those guys go after winning a World Series. Let's be real, people. Okay. You guys are still calling. I'm going to take your calls. Don't hang up. I promise. We're talking to Nats as long as we can here. I'm done at 4. So I'll take your calls in the next segment. I'm way behind, so I want to make sure I get to you. Chris Miles here on Overtime.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Today's actually the anniversary of the Big Three in Boston coming together. So go KG, it's your birthday. Go Ray Ray, it's your birthday. Go Paul Pierce, it's your birthday. That's how I feel about it. Chris Miles here in the final segment on Overtime. Thanks to everybody that called about the Washington football team. The six players that are now in COVID safety protocols right now. I feel like we had a great discussion for like 2 hours here. I really like what a lot of you had to say. Some of you can go fly a kite. You can go kick rocks. But it's only like two of you people that called. Rest of you, I appreciate you chiming in and adding your two cents. But the Nets, who is this team? Who are these people? We'll get to see some of these prospects certainly get the call up. I think this catcher, Ruiz, we're going to get to see him on the field before the end of the season. He's in AAA. And we're going to get to get an understanding of what the future might be like here. Okay, like this season's over, right? We all understand that. But could this team be competitive next year, the year after, or the year after that? I'm thinking it's a 50-50 proposition next year, depending on what they do in the offseason as far as signing free agents. I think in 2 years from now, this team will be good and will look back on this day as or this week as the time that it was rebuilt. But maybe I'm incorrect. Let's go to Kevin on line three. You've been waiting a long time. We'll start with you on the Gambit DC listener line.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I understand every move that was made except for Turner. Couldn't they have waited another year to trade him, or did they need to include him in the package to get the catcher? It just seems like they let him go too soon. And then I had a comment. Don't sleep on Lane Thomas. I'm from St. Louis. I follow the Cardinals.
Okay.
I don't think the Cardinals gave him a chance. He got COVID and he got injured. He's got speed. He can defend all three outfield positions. He'll be at least a good fourth outfielder. So he'll give you more value than Lester would have over time.
I appreciate Kevin. Thank you for that. Because here's the deal. I was looking at it like, man, what are they doing getting rid of Lester there and then trying to figure out what they're going to do in the future? So let's go to Dan and Sterling on line one. Dan, what's on your mind?
Hey, buddy. So I'm going to preface everything I have. I'm an Astros fan. Enjoyed the World Series that we had together. I thought every move that was made so far this year was great. Other than losing Turner for... I feel like you could have got more, but I feel they should have moved Corbin. I know you can't really move Strasburg right now. Like, it's rough. I thought the Strasburg signing was terrible. The Rendon not signing was a great idea. But if you're going to do a rebuild, rebuild everything. Move Soto for somebody's
top five
products.
Sir, move who?
Sir.
Move Soto.
If you're going to move everybody, you have to move everybody.
Dan Soto, you had me until you said move Soto. He's 22 years old.
No.
Has a
bad time. Hold on. I love Soto. Again, Astros fan. Love Soto. I love what he is. But if you're going to rebuild, then rebuild. Now, putting butts in the seats is hard without people, and Soto puts butts in the seats, and that's fine. But if you're going to rebuild, you got to rebuild, if that makes sense.
Okay, Dan. I'll be honest. Thanks for calling. I'll be honest, it didn't make any sense. Then it didn't, because Soto's 22. Like, see, Trey Turner's interesting because he wants, well, I think that the number is $300 million, and you're not giving him that.
All right, looks like we have to take another break before the end of the show. So we're going to do that right now and then come back and continue to take your calls on the Nats. This is Chris Miles here on Overtime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Final segment here. Look, our last caller, I don't know what was happening with him. He said that the Nationals, who just had a fire sale, it's not a full rebuild if you didn't get rid of Juan Soto. Here's the deal. Juan Soto is a transcendent franchise player, period. If you don't believe that, I don't know what you've been watching or what you know about sports in general. So you have that. You have your cornerstone. You pay him whatever he wants, and you fill out the rest of this team. And here's what I'm saying. Now you're looking at it like you have a possible, if everything goes according to plan, all-star catcher that you're going to see soon. And then Mark Zuckerman just tweeted this. Joe Ross starts tonight. Eric Fetty starts tomorrow. The Nationals are still figuring out who starts on Monday. Could it be, Josiah Gray? It's who you got in the deal for Scherzer and Trey Turner. Imagine if you see him on the field this week. All right, that does it for Overtime. I'm Chris Miles. I'll see you guys here, or listen to me tomorrow in the morning. I'll be back at 9 a.m.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.